thought in the previous year, we were talking about the din of Yoledes, about a woman who gives birth, so how Halachos Nidah plays out in terms of the calculation of days, and we saw that there seems to be a pretty big difference between the way the Torah depicts the situation of Yoledes, and how Lamaisa's practice was not correct, the Rabbanon, I read it all, and it's Chagim and everything, we had a lot of important differences. Let's just recap for a moment, put ourselves back into the swing of Yoledes figure. So the Torah describes Yoledes, Kachas Tizria. The Torah tells us that if a woman gives birth to a boy, or she gives birth to a girl, either one, she becomes a Tumas Nida for a certain amount of days. For a boy, it's 7 days, for a girl, it's 14 days. And those dinim are synonymous with regular Tumas Nida. Again, regular Tumas Nida, love of their Isa, that don't require Shifnikiyim. After those 7 days for a boy, 14 days for a girl are over, then she goes to the mikvah, and she becomes the terrace husband. Then she has, for a boy, 33-day window. For a girl, 66-day window. These are all chukim, zeh zekasa. A lot to philosophize about the reason for these things. For 33 days for a boy, 66 days for a girl, she's subject to what's called Yemei Tohar. And if she sees blood during those days, even if she's literally gushing blood during those days, it doesn't matter. That blood is a Torah tira. So Torah says those days are perfectly permissible. She's allowed to be with her husband, even though she's mamish bleeding. And at the end of that, end of the 40 days for boys or 80 days for girls, then she, the days of Beis Hamikdash, she would bring a korban, and then she goes back to normal. Then whatever dam is damni, damzav, whatever the case may be. On a level of the araisa, so then there's no need for shivanakiyim when a woman gives birth because she was never a zava. The tuma that she had was a tumas yoledes, which the Torah says kimei nidas devosa titma. So it only has the din of a nida. Nida, but the Torah doesn't require shivanakiyim. She just requires the amount of days. She goes to the finish. But then the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Nida that sometimes a woman could also be a zava if, in addition to giving birth, she also had a re'iyah ziva, namely she had 3 days in a row be a mei ziva, then she could also become a zava. The only thing is that it's unlikely for that to happen because the Torah says that any dam that she sees, even though it's be mei zivasa, if it's associated with kosher, if it's associated with labor, then that dam is considered to be okay anyway. It doesn't make her into a zava anyway. But sometimes it won't be dam kosher. Sometimes it'll be called dam shofi. It means she'll have labor, then the labor will stop. So then that blood won't be considered to be dam kosher anymore. So it starts to get very, very tricky. So the level of the raisa, you really, really got to keep track of what's going on. You have to know, you need to know yourself, is it dam kosher, is it dam shofi, is it a boy, is it a girl, is it you make toma, you make tara. So complicated. So in one fell swoop, basically all this fell by the wayside. That the Chum said that we no longer the friendship between dam shofi and dam kosher, and any type of blood we say, you require shivanakiyim. The bottom line is, without women give birth, bisman hazeh, doesn't matter if it's a boy, it doesn't matter anything. The bottom line is that she requires shivanakiyim. That's what all the settles. She requires shivanakiyim. Now, the shivanakiyim are going to take much longer than 7 or 14 days. Now, a woman is highly unlikely going to get to the mikvah with 2 weeks of having a baby because she's just not going to be able to produce clean bedikas, there's a tarish, there's going to be staining. Women stain for a long time after a baby. So practically speaking, she's not going to get to the mikvah closer to 6 weeks or so, just to, you know, give or take here and there. But the dinim d'oraisa in terms of the dam kosher, the shofi, for the 1 week, the 2 weeks have pretty much been put aside based on the combination of chumrus rabbi zeirin, chumrus midrabanan, and hagim and everything. So aruchos nida, when a woman goes to gives birth, looks not all that different from regular aruchos nida. Namely, you require shemnechi. But there is one other question that comes up, which was a really, really serious issue in the days of the Rishonim. It's less of a practice of bisman hazeh. But there is a lot of lumdus about it, and it does touch on some other important issues relevant. We'll spend a little bit of time talking about this question. A question that the Rishonim raise is as follows. Let's say she had a boy, she had a girl, she finished her Yemei Nida, said her count of Shivanakiyim, everything's going all wonderful. So she went to the mikvah. We'll give it a case of a girl, because it's a little bit more realistic. She went to the mikvah about 6 weeks or so after she had a baby. So in theory, she's up to day 42 of the Yemei, of the 80 days. Does it mean anything for us? Not all that much. Maybe about a mikvah, so she'll have to wait till 80 days to bring a korban. Okay, good. But in terms of practically speaking, we don't have to retire anymore. She's not going to be some mikdash, not eating kabbalah. The whole thing is not really relevant. She counted, she went to Kiyam, she went to the mikdash. Sure, everything is gevaldik. So, is everything gevaldik or not? Is there any reason under the sun to say that, no, wait a second, she can't go to the mikvah until the 80 days are up? well, let's say for a boy, she can't go to the mail until the 40 days are up. Would anybody in the right mind say such a thing? So it sounds like almost the opposite of what we would think the din should be. But the Torah says, forget all those extra days, or you may Torah, the windows of opportunity to become a terrorist, not to become a surah. So where in the world would anybody dream that there should be such a such a halacha? Where in the world would that come from? So there is a... So your levis, the Shacharach begins with a filo ros adam. If a woman gave birth in some miraculous way to the Sydney blood, to May, Kanida, Benyol, the Chai, whether she gave birth to a live child, Benyol, the Mace, whether the child died, I feel the May felt even if the child wasn't developed altogether. The Kamein, you made to Musa, practically speaking, how much does she have to wait? It says the Shulchan Aruch, in one fell swoop, Ach, Shabbos Manazeh, Kola Yoldos, Chashuvos Yoldos, Bezov. All women today are considered to be a combination of your Yoledes and Zavos as well. And she has to wait. Shivanikiyim. Nim says Omer. So it comes out. She led a zochir. She has a zayin leida. A zayin leikiyim. Zivim. So any woman who gives birth to a boy has to wait 7 days for yemei nida and 7 days for the shivanikiyim. They are led us the kevi. She has a shvayim leida. A zayin leikiyim. Zivim. That whereas the led us the kevi has to wait 2 weeks for the baby, as well as 1 week for shivanikiyim. You may lay the shem zayin lezoch v'yadal in the cave. For those you may lay the im lo rosabem, if she happens not to be bleeding during those days, olum l'sfiras yivasa. So it can double over. Because you don't need 14 days for your may lay the and then a week of shem nikiyim. If she's lucky and she stops bleeding, which again doesn't really happen today, if she's lucky and she stops bleeding, so the days can overlap.
What
a
C-section count?
A C-section is legamin. It's not going to be laid for these purposes. So a C-section is just regular chesnida. She does bleed, so she just has regular chesnida, which again is going to mean shem nikiyim. Practically speaking, there's almost no difference lamaisa between the C-section and the regular birth of this. If by some quirk she gave birth to a girl and she finished Shiva Nikiyim before 14 days were over and she went to the mikveh too early, tefillah is no good in the Torah. So she has to have a minimum of 7 days for a boy has passed, a minimum of 14 days for a girl has passed, also Shiva Nikiyim have passed, and but they can overlap between the two. That's how Shulchan Aruch just sums up everything we said up until now. But now, this is where the Ramah comes from. After the 7 days for Zoch, or the 14 days for Nekeva, Muteris Tabay L'Miyad, Me'achah She'sofer Shivanikiyim L'Chaz V'Rasa. As long as she counted a Shivanikiyim, she hasn't seen, she went to the Mikvah, she hasn't seen again, she's up to day 62 of her 80 days, so she's totally permissible, because the Ramah says that 80 days have nothing to do with us, they have to do with the base of Mikdash. Miyu, says the Ramah. Yesh bekamos, there are some places shenogin she ain't tovlim tochmem lezochar ushmanim lenekeva. There are some places that have the custom that she does not go to the mikvah until 40 days have passed since birth for a boy or 80 days have passed for a girl. Now the 40 days for a boy is not so terrible because she's probably not going to get to the mikvah anyway, you know, until the staining stops in about 6 weeks, which is about 40 days anyway. But for 80 days for a girl, it's a long time. That's almost 3 months. Most women do become clean before that point. So according to the Ramah's custom, that's not the Ramah personally, but the Yesh becomes that he's quoting, for those who have this custom, to hold off the tefillah until 80 days for a girl. The Ein L'Hatir, then the Ramah writes in the next line, the Ein L'Hatir Makos Shenog L'Hachim, quotes from the Ribash, that if you live in a place where this Chumrah exists, so you shouldn't be lenient about this Chumrah. The Baba Makos She'ein Merig, the Ramah says, but if there is no such custom, in Lachmer Klal, then there's no need to be Machmer in this. Rav Miyad Shlo Ros Adam Achatayin Lazach Adam Nekevus Av Shemikim Muteres Labayla. But the Ramah says that if you live in a place which doesn't have this custom, then you just follow what the regular din should be. And assuming that you live in a place which doesn't have this custom, so she went to the mikvah day 47 or something, and now she starts to see again about the chaz of a rasa, a few tibus dam kichar, even the smallest amount. Tameya, afagav with the raisa dam tohoru. Even though in the Torah this is not really dam, kvar poshad amnirig b'chol Yisrael. There is an absolute, accepted all of Klai Yisrael Minag, She'ein Balam Adam Tahor. That we don't accept a Kula of Dam Tahor, V'dinu Kesha Adam L'chol Dabar. The custom is to treat it like Dam, like regular Dam, regular Chesnida, for all areas of Halacha. Remember, we mentioned 2 weeks ago that this Chumra that we have, that everybody has, of treating Dam Tahor, treating Dam on the 80 days as Dam Nidus, according to many Rishonim, was not beginning the Gemara. It's the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban claims this Chumra already existed in the days of the Gemara, but the Rambam records historically that it wasn't true. The Rambam writes that there were still communities in his day that weren't practicing it. He writes that the French communities, the Rambam never stepped foot into France. He writes that Betzorfas, the French communities, which are really the forerunner for the Ashkenazi communities, they were lenient on this Shaila. They were makil to be bol on Dam Tahor, but already by the days of the Shulchan Aruch, this minute was long gone. So in today's world, nobody, even the people from France, have already caved into this. Everybody, Ashkenazim, Sfarim, everybody across the board has accepted this custom that we don't rely on any kulas of Dam Tahor. We mentioned 2 weeks ago that even though Dam Tahor is asur, but we sometimes, some Rabbanim will look at it a little bit more lenient. Namely, we have a Shaila that comes up with Dam Tahor, so we'll be more quickly to be makil, because it's not a derais anyway. It's not even a real derabanan. It's a minig. It's not a din. It's a minig. Therefore, we can look at it a little bit more lenient. Tzitzit B'chassam Sofer has a shayla about what if a woman goes to the mikveh based on just on Dam Tahor. Let's say she went to the mikveh after birth, and then a few days later she starts to bleed. Very, very common shayla. She starts to bleed again. So, especially, let's say, if a woman is not nursing, she may get a full-blown period during that time already. So she gets a period. And technically speaking, she's muteris. She's not bleeding for a whole week. She's flowing blood. She's muteris ben Torah, and she's even muteris ben Rabban, which is a surbi koch menor. So, okay, now, so she has to go to the mikvah. So she can't shuvri kip. She goes to the mikvah. Now she comes to the mikvah. She says, wait a second. Do I make a bracha when I go to the mikvah? It's not a real tevila. I'm not mechuyavis ben Torah to go to the mikvah. I'm not mechuyavis ben Rabban to go to the mikvah. I'm only mechuyavis ben Torah's minig to go to the mikvah. The Chassam Sofer raises the question that there's machlekes the side of the Ashkenazim, do we make brachas on Minhagim? So Ashkenazim make a brach on Hal and Rosh Chodesh, and Sfarim don't. So they have a machlekes, they make a brach on Minhag. So the Chassam Sofer says, would you pass it that way? If a Sfari woman comes and wants to know, hey, I'm going to the Mikvah B'Torah, Dam Tahor, do I make a brach on that? Maybe she doesn't make a brach. So the Chassam Sofer tries to show you why this Minhag is different from, say, Hal and Rosh Chodesh. This is more common than Hal and Rosh Chodesh. So it's a whole complicated cheshbon. I think that the minhag is that the women do make a bracha. A woman goes to the mikvah, even for Dam Tahor, right? I never heard that the woman wouldn't make a bracha. That's pretty much the universal. For those who know the Chassam Sofer or don't know the Chassam Sofer, it's the universal minhag today. Anyway, get back to the story. So, but there was one law in the Ramah, we didn't know where it came from. The Ramah quotes the Yesh B'Kavash Anayagim. There's some place who had the strange minhag to wait until 40 days or 80 days for a girl before we could even let her go to the mikvah in the first place. And the question is, where in the world does this minhag even come from? So if you take a look at the page 26 for the Taz, that's the second to bottom line. So the Taz writes at the very end of the line, minhag zeh, this minhag of waiting until 40 days or 80 days before going to the mikvah in the first place, the Rambam quotes this minhag. But the Rambam quotes it in a very, very negative tone. But Simulol Jah Rambam Kora of Tagar. The Rambam attacked this minhag. The Omar Sheish Isser Linhoi Kain. He says it's also to follow this minhag. The Nimshach Letzad Minus. He said the minhag came from the Epikursim. It came from the Karoyim. The Rambam writes that the Karoyim was still a force. The people denied. We still put them last night. That the Epikursim in the days of the Gaonim in the Red, still even till the days of the Rambam, who denied Teshuvah Peh. So they made up all kind of kunzim, all kind of mishigasim based on their misunderstanding of Pesukim and Chumash. So one of the things that the Karoim came up with, the Rambam claims, is that the Torah says that she's not allowed to go to the Beis HaMikdash until 40 days, not allowed to go to the Beis HaMikdash 80 days. So that means she can't be with the husband until 80 days. So the Rambam said, L'hoyud var be'edam, Tashu Rabbe never says such a silly thing. There is no such din. And therefore the Rambam says, anyone who follows this minhag of waiting 80 days to go to the mikvah is a chashash of apikursus. It's the Karoim followed this. So according to the Rambam, we shouldn't be spending too much time analyzing the lumpness of this minhag. We should just be encouraging everybody not to follow this minhag. So notwithstanding the Rambam is very, very strong coming out against this, you have to check with the Karoim today what they do. There aren't that many left, but there's a shul still next to in the Rova. Next to Yeshiva Kotel. You know, even though the street in Yerushalayim that Yeshiva Kotel is on, it's Rehova Karoim. Because it's the Karoim shul, yeah. I've passed that Kerosh shul about 1,000 times. I've never seen them open. I don't even think they have a minion. I don't even know if anyone's left. But the shul is still, it's all gated up. I'm not sure what's going on there. Okay. Anyway, so according to the Rambam, the sugya would be open. I'm learning to talk about this minig. But notwithstanding the Rambam's strong critique of this minig, there are others who say that no, the minig is not rooted in Karoim. There is a real basis for this minig. It's really rooted in halacha. It's rooted in real Torah sources. Should you follow it? Should you not follow it? It's a different hug about it. The mice and minig is we don't follow it. In our communities, nobody follows this anymore. The Rambam himself writes that if you live in a place where they don't have the minig, you're not mechuf to adopt the minig. But the question is, where does it really come from? If you don't go down the Rambam's route that's based on the Apikorsim, what is it based on? So there is a real heavy-duty lumbus to explain this minig. Whether the minig should be followed or not, whether this is the reason for the minig or not, I can't tell you. But in terms of the lumbus is important. So the lumbus is a throwback to a sugya that we referred to a little bit when we were talking about the beginning of Yom Ledes. Let me find it. We can go back to the top of page 26. So at the top of page 26, the Gemara is discussing about, if you have a woman who has to count Shivnikiyim because she was a Zava before she gave birth. She started to leave before she gave birth. And again, Bismana Gemara, it was very unlikely she's going to become a Zava because it's probably going to be Damkoshi anyway. But Bismana Zet, we've done away with the whole Kula of Damkoshi. So every woman Bismana Zet is a Zava / Yolandis. So the Gemara has the following Shaila, the first Maran Bokum on page 26, Iboilu. Maushetale, can the days of Leda, maybe those days of Tumas Leda, can they count towards the Shivinikiyim? So she has the following scenario. She became a Zava a couple of days before she gave birth, and she's due to start begin counting Shivinikiyim, but she has a baby now. So Kozban, she's mamish bleeding from the baby, that's not gonna, can't call that a Yom Naki. But what if the bleeding from the baby is over? Let's say all of a sudden she finishes bleeding, she gave birth to a girl, she finishes bleeding on day 10. And now she wants to say, you know what, let me count day 11 as the first of my Shiva Nikiyim, because after all, I'm not bleeding. So the Gemara says, not so simple. Because even though you're not physically bleeding, on the other hand, the Torah just called you, ki mei nidas devosa titma. The Torah said, these are days of nida. So the Torah is saying that even though you're not physically bleeding, halakhali, it's ki'ilu, you're still bleeding. So how can you turn around and say, well, it's my Shiva Nikiyim, I'm in the middle of Shiva Nikiyim. How can you be in Shiva Nikiyim if you're still doing your main Leda? So that's a machlon, that's a shanding way. Can the days of Leda, which he's not seeing in, can they count towards Shiva Nikiyim? So Abaye Amar Enes Aseres Veina Oila, Rav Amar Enes Aseres Veina. So Abaye says, for our purposes, they cannot count towards Shiva Nikiyim. And Rava says, yes, they can. They can count towards Shiva Nikiyim. In the days of the Gemara was unlikely, because she probably wasn't a Zava anyway. For us, it's pretty important, but practically speaking, not really important, because most women are not going to get anywhere near counting Shiva Nikiyim until weeks and weeks and weeks after the baby. But in terms of learning that she can somehow get clean by day 10, and she wants to start to jump the gun and count Shiva Nikiyim, can she do it or not? So it's a machlekes between Abaye and Rava. So how do we paskin l'alocha in this machlekes Abaye and Rava? We all know that Machlek is a man Rava, so you always follow Rava, except for Yal Kagam. The question is this one of the Yal Kagam? Well, it's not Fjord, we don't deal with Tzia, so we know it's the Yishol Lidas is not. It's not the Ayin that's Eid Zomim. We'll skip the Lama for a second. It's not Kuf of Kedushin. It's not the Gimel of Gil Yidas Begitin. It's not the Mem of Mumar. But it has the right letter. The right letter is Lamed, Leda. Is this the Lamed of Yal Kagam? So that's a machlekes harishen. So Rashi says that's not the lamed of Yachagam. Rashi says lamed of Yachagam is a sugya erevin about a lechi, about hukas erevin. Shall nothing do with that sugya. But Rabbi Tam said that the lamed, the magic lamed of Yachagam, is the sugya, is leida. So that's what Tosfos quotes in the second of the Maran Kamos. Rabbi Tam at first hukas like Abaye dein olin. That Rabbi Tam says we follow the view of Abaye that the yemei leida are not oila for shivinikiyim. So again, you have a woman who
before she gave birth became a zava, highly unlikely, Bizmana Gemara, but she became a zava, and now also she has a baby, and now before she can get to the mikvah, she has in the back of her mind, wait a second, I can't just stop and run to the mikvah, I have to count Shiva Nikiyim to get rid of my ziva status from before, so she's all ready to roll on day 10, she stops bleeding, she's ready to do Hafsitar, ready to start counting Shiva Nikiyim, and Rabbi Natan says, sorry, you can't start counting Shiva Nikiyim, because this is the magic lamed of Yalka Gam, and those next 4 days are not going to count for you, so you have to wait until the 14 days are over before you can start to even begin to dream of counting Shiva Nikiyim. That's Rabbi Natan Shita. And we said Rashi obviously wouldn't pass this way because Rashi said this not even the Lavid. The Rambam, most of the Rishonim, Ruben, the Rishonim, didn't follow this view of Rabbi Natan. They said this is not the Lavid of Yalka Gam, and therefore we pass it like Rava, like any other case, and the Melei that can count for Shiva Nikiyim. But let's keep ourselves in the mind for a moment of Rabbi Natan. So according to Rabbi Natan, you can't start counting Shiva Nikiyim until the Yemei Leda are over. That was a multi-million-dollar question. What makes Yemei Leda over? How do you end Yemei Leda? What point do you officially say the Yemei Leda have terminated, and I'm now able to begin to count Shiva Nikiyim? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, well, you take a calendar, and you count 2 weeks. I gave birth 2 weeks ago. 14 days are over, so the Yemei Leda are over, finished. What could possibly be wrong? Not so simple. So there is a complicated sugya in Maseches Nida about Tumah V'Tahara, where basically comes out to what Beis Hillel tell us, B'yomei U'tvila Tol Rachamana. Namely, that the Yemei Leda, they ain't over until she goes to the water. They're not over just because the 14 days are over. She's still called B'yomei Ledasa, holds man that she hasn't passed 14 days since birth, as well as gone to the mikvah. So they still have a chiddush that in order to end the Yemei Leda, you have to have a tevila b'mikvah to end the Yemei Leda. So far, yeah, you have to keep track of all the premises. Number one, we're in the world of Rabbi Natan, that you can't start to count Shiva Nikiyim until the Yemei Leda are over. And we just got finished saying that Yemei Leda cannot end until she goes to the mikvah. So if you think about it now, according to Rabbi Natan, what comes out as well as a regular woman now. I'm sure a regular woman is Banazeh. She's Yoledes Bezov, so she has to count Shiva Nikiyim. She gives birth to a girl, so she needs 14 days first. The 14 days have to end before she can count Shiva Nikiyim. Not true. The 14 days have to end, and she has to go to the mikvah before she can start to count Shiva Nikiyim. So it's a very modern thing. You have a woman going to a mikvah, according to Rabbi Natan, not to be with her husband. She can't be with her husband until she counts Shiva Nikiyim. So she doesn't have a chance yet to be with her husband. She has to go to the mikvah as a prerequisite to be able to count Shiva Nikiyim in order to be able to go back to the mikvah. So we'll explain.
She has to go to the mikvah twice.
That's right. That's where Rabbi Natan came up with the phrase, she a brisker Rabbi Natan. Every woman who gives birth to Banazer requires base tefilos. Sanuchon Rabbi Natan. So don't feel bad that you never heard of this, because except for Rabbi Natan, I wouldn't have heard of this. Because according to Rabbi Natan, it only makes sense if you paskin like Abaye. If you don't pass like Abaye, then this is the whole question is a moot question. But according to Rabbi Natan, who was a Das Yochan in the Rishon, who started with Abaye, and put together the Gemara Nida that says, B'yomu tefilot ala rachamona, it comes out that the only way for a woman to go to the mikvah, to be with her husband, is that she already went to the mikvah a week before in order to enable her the prerequisite to count Shiva Nikiyim. Based tefilos, according to Rabbi Natan. So that's in theory. That's what the world would look like according to Rabbi Natan. Now, the Poskim right, there's a long Ramah in the documentary about this, but we're going to leave out all the details. But those who are interested, you can read it on page 27, the Taz quotes most of it, part of it. At the bottom, they quote more of it. So if you have a lot to do today, a lot to read to, we're trying to say it outside, it's a little complicated. So comes the Ramah and says, according to the world view of Rabbi Natan, two tefillos. He laid the bezov, she has a baby, 14 days are over, she goes to the mikvah, starts counting Shiva Nikiyim, goes to the mikvah again. Now reality check kicks in. Says the Ramah, it's freezing cold in Krakow. It's freezing cold in Eastern Europe. And we just sent this woman to the mikvah at 2 weeks after having a baby, and we just told her, by the way, you're still asur to your husband until you come back next week, go to the mikvah again. So we're sending a woman who was just a yoledes to a freezing cold mikvah twice in the course of one week, 2.5+ weeks or so after she just had a baby. So not everybody was happy about this. The women weren't so happy about this. So the suggestion was made, wait a second, maybe we could figure out a way to avoid the need for base tefillos. To avoid what, You have to send to the mikvah, you have to send to the mikvah. What can do? But this extra added burden of an additional tefillah according to Metam, which is probably very difficult psychologically, if you think about it, you're sending it to an ice cold mikvah in the middle of January in Poland, and when she comes home, she can't be with her husband. She has to then wait another week. This was very, very hard. So is there any other aids, any other cheshbon, any way to avoid the second tefillah? If you reject Rabbeinu Tam, then seize it, and the whole thing doesn't apply. But if you pass like Rabbeinu Tam, is there any way to get rid of this first prerequisite tefillah? So the Ramah writes, yes, there's another way. There's another way to end your Meleda, not derech tefillah. Normally the Gemara says that the only way to end your Meleda is the end of 14 days, go to the mikvah, that's the official termination of your Meleda. There's another way, says the Ramah. You know what the other way is? If you wait till the end of 80 days, if you wait until the end of the Yemei Toash, she had a baby 6 years ago, she's still your lettuce. At some point, the Yemei Leda are overdone, finished history, even without a tefillah to officially call an end to them. Says the Ramah, if a woman, instead of going to base tefillah, she says, listen, I can't do two tefillahs in the cold in Poland, I want to do one tefillah. So the Ramah says, okay, we'll let you get away with one tefillah, even according to Ben Adam, but you have to wait till much, much later. You have to wait until the 80 days of Yemei Leda are over, legamre with Yemei. Some of Yemei Tohar, even the Yemei Tohar is meaningless for us. You have to wait till the end of Yemei Tohar, and then you have to start to count Shiv Nekiyim, and then you're going to mikvah day 87. That you can do, and you alleviated that need for an additional tefillah. So you circumvented Rabbeinu Tam. Instead of having tefillah Rishona to enable you to count Shiv Nekiyim, you waited till the end of 80 days. That's the Ramah's Chiddush. The Gemara never says that. That's the Chiddush of the Ramah, but that would also be another vehicle to end Yemei Leda officially. The Ramah writes, that's the source of this minute. That's why the women would wait 80 days. Not because of the epicursive of the Rambam. No, that wasn't what it was based on. It was based on the ice-cold, frigid conditions in Eastern Europe and the communities that had the practice of following Rabbeinu Tam. And this was the safer, this was the easier, more convenient way to avoid the chumrah of Rabbeinu Tam or based tefillahs. And also, Derech Agav, let the woman wait until she was 2.5 months after birth, rather than 2 weeks after birth. She probably was a lot stronger, a lot easier for her to be tavelas, and it was only one tefillah, and psychologically it was easier, and she was probably bleeding anyway for a lot of that time. So, the poskim in Eastern Europe, those who had this minhag, so instituted this minhag as a way to circumvent the chumrah of Rabbeinu Tam's based tefillahs. That's what the Ramah suggests, that's what the whole thing razzle-dazzle is based on. A lot of the Haredim have very, very serious reservations. It's involved in the Shir Ramah, but the later Haredim have very, very serious reservations with this. First of all, the numbers don't add up. The numbers aren't right. Because if you think about it, she should have to be Tavelas at day 87, not at day 80. The minig was to wait 80 days. According to this Ramah, the minig is to wait 80 days and then start counting Shiv Nekiyim. That's not what the women were doing. They were counting Shiv Nekiyim on day 73. They were starting to count Shiv Nekiyim. They were ready to roll. By day 80, they were ready in the mikvah. So according to Ramah's cheshbon, he didn't do enough. It should force her to have to wait 87 days rather than just 80 days. So Achorim had a very, very serious reservation with that Ramah. The second issue that the later Achorim have with the Ramah is that we don't pass them like Rabbeinu Tam. Nobody passed them like Rabbeinu Tam. Our minig is not like Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramah's minig is not like Rabbeinu Tam. Nobody followed Rabbeinu Tam. It was Mamash Das Yochid. We passed in Shulchan Aruch that Yemei Leidid, Yemei, and Yemei Shiv Nekiyim do overlap when a woman has, let's say, a miscarriage. So we tell a woman who has a miscarriage, if the miscarriage is further far enough to be choshesh, there was a baby, so she has to count 14 days for Yemei Leidid. Maybe it was in a cave, but we can't tell it was Zohar in a cave. But we let her count Shiv Nekiyim, they overlap. When a regular woman gives birth, she's not going to come clean anyway for a few weeks. But a woman who has an early on miscarriage can become clean within 2 weeks, and we tell her she can count Shiv Nekiyim and count the 2 weeks, and the two can overlap. So we don't follow Bechlal, nobody follows Rabbeinu Tam. So to say that this minig is based on Rabbeinu Tam, that's Yach, we don't accept, was very, very difficult. So when all the dust settles, it was a very long Dishu Mahalach, but there are some serious issues with this understanding of the Ramah. So what is this minig based on? If it's not based on, hopefully it's not based on the Apikorsh of the Karoim, it's not based on the Ramah, so what could it possibly be based on? So it says that, if you take a look at page 27, so the Taz quotes another possibility what this minig is based on. So page 27 is the last of the fourth of the wide lines at the top of the page. Old Matzil Sefer Aguda, Perk Avi Psachim Azel Shon, and Sefer Aguda, one of the later Rishon from the Ashkenazi communities, says that it's based on the following. Nearly, the Rishon Hachim Rikilim Noshim Yoldos Lahamtin, the reason why the women wait so long, Ki Yereos Pen Yishkecho Ona Di Arboim Lezoch Hashmol Lene Kevad Kel Nishel Gal. Because we're afraid they're going to forget. If you let them go to the mikveh early and be with the husbands, they're going to forget when they reach the magic number 40 or the magic number 80. So they won't bring a carbon to the basement. What's going to happen in Germany in the 1200s if they forget? Because there's a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim that says that when the 40 days end for a boy, when the 80 days end for a girl, so that has the status like an ona. And the couple are not supposed to be together on that night of 40 or 80. Why is that? So there are different opinions in the Mishnah on what that's based on. So there's not that we don't even follow that. We'll see that as we go on. So the Sefer Gudah says, if you're going to tell a woman she can go to the mikvah a couple of weeks after she has a baby, so it's going to be very hard. She's not going to remember. She's busy changing diapers. She's busy nursing babies. She's going to remember, oh, tonight is the 80th night. Oh, yeah. She's going to violate that terrible din of being vile on the night of the 80th night. So in order to avoid that chashash, they told her a very simple way. Don't go to mikvah for the next 6 weeks, so you won't be muteres anywhere until after the 80 days. So that's kind of hard to swallow. That's the reason why. But there are even more problems for that. The Taz and others point out that we don't even observe this din of 40 and 80, this man is that. Why is it all of a sudden Chazal said on the 80th night you can't be together? So the Rishonim explained, many Rishonim explained, the reason for that din was because up until now she was Yimei Tohar. Now she's about to enter into Yimei Tumah, so we want to make a demarcation. We want to remind her, otherwise she's going to be sloppy. She's going to think, well, day 73 I was Muteris, even though I'm gushing blood, and day 74 I'm flowing and I'm still Muteris, and day 81 is going to come, I must still be okay. So we want to remind her, this is your status is about to change with the Raisa. So therefore Chazal instituted that with the Rabbanan one night as a break, as a barrier, to remind her that she's entered back at the regularly may need her. So the Rishonim write, why do we have to observe this din mitzvah anymore? We're not Boel Adam Torah anymore. We don't observe the kulas of the first 80 days. So we who don't observe the Torah anyway, there's no chashash Rabbanan. So the chashash Rabbanan, the whole din Rabbanan falls by the wayside. So now you're going to tell me that not only are we being noyeg, this issed Rabbanan that doesn't really make sense to this man is that, we're now being noyeg, don't be together for 65 days beforehand, because of gezeira you're going to forget to be noyeg on the 80th day. That's a little bit far, a little bit of a stretch. So therefore, all the reasons that are given for this minig, each one has very, very serious difficulties to it. The Rambam called it apikarsus minig. The Ramah gave it a lomdash of beis and based on a sheet that we only pass the line, and the numbers that are math don't head up. And the Aguda gave a reason that's very, very hard to us to fathom, us to accept as man as that. So when all the dust settles, the reasons are not such great reasons. Very hard to accept these reasons, which is exactly why this minhag doesn't apply to this minhag. That's exactly what the Rambam said. That if you live in a community, they never heard of this minhag. So don't institute it, because each is a shver shver, very, very hard minhag to understand. And therefore, the bottom line is that this minhag doesn't really exist as much as that. If you take a look at the bottom of the Taz, on page 27, when he goes through everything, it goes to the Ramban, it goes to the Agud, and all the pros and cons of this minhag. So he writes that the last three lines, Gam Ramo Atzo Daki Moshe, Kosov She'ein Tam Ze'ikr. The Ramban himself says that the reason that he gave is not really right. The Eilach V'Klal V'Makom Shalom Nogu, Kval L'Hachmer, says you don't have to institute new and minhagim. V'chein Devar V'Kam V'Shulchan Aruch, the reason why he gave us such a test to explain those places that are machmir, you shouldn't say that they're up because of it. It's based on something, but he doesn't think it's right. But now the Taz quotes from his own father-in-law from the Bach, El Shemayri Chamiz al Kosar, and he says his father-in-law, the Bach, wrote the Hifiz al Amida, that he overdid it a little bit, because Amida is a phrase to be exaggerated, he overdid it a little bit. The Yamar, Shal Minigzeh Peretz Ged Yishchenu Nochosh. He says that anyone who violates this minhag should be bit by a snake. It's a possibility for hell. If you break through the fence, you're going to be bit by a snake. So says the Taz.
That's what the Rambam said.
Yeah. The Rambam says if you follow it, you're an apikoros. And the Bach says if you don't follow it, you're going to be. You choose. You want to be an apikoros or bit by a snake. So depends where the snake's pointed. So now the Taz is the son of Lorraine, but his own shver, better than his own father. He says, I don't know what caused my father was to make this minhag so strong. Ula Hatiel. What happened? Got lost. Got lost the punchline. Look at page 28. Oh, I skipped the page. Wait, let's skip the page. Do you have page 28?
Yeah,
page 28. Lost, sorry, okay.
the drama.
Onesh. Chas v'shol. Tata taz. Punish people. How did the fact about punish people? Given she Rambam raha minig. The Rambam saw the minig. Because of the vatloi. And the Rambam says, get rid of the minig. It's epic curses. V'amakid mishta v'amordechai v'chseze v'arik yiskimul azeh. And all of these Rishonim agreed to the Rambam to get rid of the minig. Kama rivosh. V'akshat kosav shesh tzas v'motzchus v'kaimah. He says, maybe you can give up a half-baked l'mitzchus. V'alahatul onesh ala dover lo'ala al-das shum risha v'yachron. On the road, the Kehilos Kedoshim, you see, we've seen the holy Kehilos in Eastern Europe, Maisim Bechol Yoin, Benashim Harbe, Kimat Ruban, Shemakilim, Bedova, Be'enam Dimat Shmonel and Keva. So he says, nobody ever heard of such a thing, nobody says this, Bimat Pelas Nafel, Ain Shem Echet, Shemantim Shemonim Yom, we never heard of this from miscarriages, never heard of it from babies, El Tovelas, Kosman, Shetucha, Bechalila, Nishamak Kose. He says, you can't punish anybody for this. He says he himself saw that a certain gadol that it was for serious reasons. A certain gadol who told his wife a favor, she goes to the mikveh, don't wait for these extra days. And he says the whole thing. And this gadol told the taz the reason was came shechumim bishul precious leil memalach from teyalach, but she precious shev or aguda sheamar. She odeh be'atzvah lizor lefosh osa ona from his bash ein ana tzrichin lizor klav ona shmona v'yachad yoyin. He says that the next paragraph is kol zani rachaman aliva boy kolarot lahachmu v'zev kenos l'shemayim yesh lizor tzas achorayim shkos l'kayim v'saminik. Doesn't want to be machmer because on the head v'ala nekim v'dov chilil l'seis lach shum onesh v'ein b'zeh v'shum parif deder ein minik zeh kabul gamrei muskom kein v'ein v'chol v'koymes v'v'vadeh ramah lo. Then he says, because of the Rabbi Mahabal Medinos Elo. And he says, she ain't Tzorach. And he says, the whole thing is not true. Anyway, bottom line, you can read the whole full task yourself. The Taz was not the biggest fan of this minute. But myself, and since the days of the Ramah, the Taz was minute, to the best of my knowledge, has disappeared. I don't know of any community, except maybe the Quran. I don't know anyone else who observes this minute. I showed up to 48. Yes, I know the same thing.